I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund. So that must make this the next page. Marissa, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am terrific. I'm starting to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
As our listeners know, I always get colds. And so I'm feeling better.
Good.
I still have issues with a right ear, but that's okay. At least it's there. You know, it'd be a real problem if it wasn't there.
Yep.
Maybe if I didn't have issues, that would mean I didn't have an ear. But anyways, that would be weird. So last week, we talked about the Sunday evening flu.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things when we talked about that was we said, you know, people need to work in their strengths, but maybe they don't know what their strengths are. So you had prompted me to take an Enneagram assessment,
mm-hmm.
which I did.
Yep.
So
last week we talked about the Strength Finders assessment.
We did.
Which is probably a little more strength oriented, whereas this might be
yes.
a little more
yeah, this,
personality.
The Enneagram, yeah, it reminded me a lot of a DISC assessment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's driving more into a personality. But the neat part is, you know, for our listeners, it's free.
There are many free options, yeah.
Yeah, so if you just mm-hmm. Google free Enneagram, you're going to find them. And it took me, I think it's like 125 questions, something mm-hmm. like that. It took me longer than I thought it would, only because some of the questions are hard to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, well, am I this? Well, am I that? And it seems to me that I keep picking neutral too many times in some of these assessments. Which I'm not sure what that means, but it's okay. But maybe what I'll do is I'll quickly run through the nine behavior profiles of the Enneagram, and then you and I can talk about what we discovered about ourselves that we probably already knew, but
okay.
at least they confirmed. How's that?
Yeah.
So, you know, there are nine types, and really the Enneagram is a symbol, if I understood it right. Did I get that right?
Yeah, I think it's like a circle, and it's...
Circle with... lines and triangles and
yeah,
something like that.
Because the lines, I think, make up who your types. Listen, people,
okay.
we're not experts.
We're not experts.
It's some kind of circle.
Exactly. So if you really need to know more about it, Google it. But the nine types are the reformer, the helper, the achiever, the individualist, the investigator, the loyalist, the enthusiast, the challenger, and the peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting for me, and I'm going to flip over on my laptop here to what was interesting for me was it basically said it didn't know what I was, which was kind of crazy, but let me explain what that means. So what it really said was that it was not clear from the test results which Enneagram type and wing I was, but it told me I was most likely a 2, which is a... Was that the helper?
The helper.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
it was the helper. However, I could be a 3, which is the achiever. And so my wing, so I was either a 2-wing 3 or a 3-wing 2.
Right.
Which was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then my next highest was a 6.4, which was 6.4 was type 4. And the next closest to that was a type 9.
So type 4 being the individualist and 9
right.
being the peacemaker.
Exactly. So I think in some ways I can see myself in those as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it settled in between the helper and the achiever. So how about you?
So I was, I took two different tests, which I shared with you. The first one was the same one that you took, and I have taken this one before over the years. So I am a 3-wing 2. So the way wings work, that people probably think we're talking crazy here. You get a bunch of scores for each type, all 9 types,
yep.
and your highest would be your typical profile. And then you can wing to the types that are on either side of you. So even though, so my highest was a 3 and my second highest on this one, I think I told you was a, let me look, pulled it back up. Yep, it was a 1, but because 3 was higher and my, so that would became my type and my 2 was the third highest, you wing to your 2 since you can't wing to 1 because they're not next to each other.
Right.
So that was just a little explanation for everyone. But I was a 3-wing 2. So that is the achiever and the helper. On the other test I took, which I didn't think was... There were definitely some questions on the other assessment that I had a hard time answering. And so I think that's why it sort of changed things, because I definitely think type three is a fit for me, a pretty good fit.
Mm-hmm.
The other one put me as highest type six. So that kind of surprised me. But the more I read it, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And I think my second highest on that one was the achiever, which is type three. So I still think three is more accurate for me.
Okay.
But so I expected us both to be three wing two. So I'm not surprised that yours is either three wing two or two wing three.
And I'm also not surprised that I confused even the assessments. So, you know, I'm still kind of confused. No, but it was interesting. So let's, you know, I'm going to, let's see. You were three, right?
Yep.
Wing two. So I'm going to talk about some of the highlights from the helper, which would be type two.
Okay.
And then you can talk about type three.
Okay.
So, it basically said that people with this personality type essentially feel that they are worthy insofar as they are helpful to others.
Mm-hmm.
Love is their highest ideal. You know, I should make sure my wife reads this. She listens to the podcast. That's okay. Selflessness is their duty. Now she's going to say, whoa, that's definitely not him. Giving to others is their reason for being. Oh, isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
Involved, socially aware, usually extroverted. Twos are a type of people who remember everyone's birthday and who go the extra mile to help out a coworker, spouse, friend in need. Twos are warm, emotional people who care a great deal. Mm-hmm. About personal relationships. Talks about devoting enormous amounts of energy. Self-image, much of the two self-image resolves around these issues. Talks about being helpful and that type of thing with people.
Mm-hmm.
And any threat to that self-image is scarcely tolerated. Ooh, that doesn't sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the part, because, you know, it's one thing for me to talk about the good things, but this is what kind of struck me. Twos often develop a sense of entitlement when it comes to the people closest to them. Because they have extended themselves for others, they begin to feel that gratitude is owed to them. They can become intrusive and demanding if their often unacknowledged emotional needs go unmet. They can be bossy and manipulative, feeling entirely justified in being so, because they have earned the right, in air quotes, because their intentions are good. The darkest side of the type 2 fixation appears when the 2 begins to feel that they will never receive the love they deserve for all their efforts. Wow. Under such circumstances, they can become hysterical, irrational, and even abusive.
Wow.
So, you know, yeah, okay.
But that's to the extreme.
That's to the extreme.
As the scores say, like... I, at least for my scores, I, you know, showed me my top five.
Yes.
So there's a you know, we're not just type three and just type two.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a positive thing here too, though, that I'm seeing as positive. Because twos are generally helping others meet their needs, they often can forget to take care of their own needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that can lead to physical burnout. Well, we actually seen that, haven't we?
Can lead to a lot of coughs and colds.
A lot of coughs and colds. So maybe I am more of a two than I want to admit. Okay. So talk to us about a three.
All right. So it says that people of this personality type need to be validated in order to feel worthy. They pursue success and want to be admired. They're frequently hardworking, competitive, and are highly focused in the pursuit of their goals. So, I
can see that.
I can see that. I think I'm not super competitive, but the rest of it, okay. Let's see. Threes are socially competent, often extroverted, and sometimes charismatic. I wouldn't consider myself an extrovert.
No, I wouldn't either.
But I think I do have some extrovert tendencies. Like when I'm with my book club, which is a group of people that I know really well and I'm really comfortable with, they know how to present themselves, are self-confident, practical, and driven. Threes have a lot of energy. I'm going to disagree on my energy level. and often seem to embody a kind of zest for life that others find contagious.
Like bucket lists for seasons.
That is my zest for life right now.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's see. I'm just scanning my notes here. Let's see. Threes are often generous and likable, but are difficult to really know. When unhealthy, their narcissism takes an ugly turn. And they can become cold-blooded and ruthless in the pursuit of their goals. Woof.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Whoa. Well, again, this is to the extreme. Let's see.
Sorry.
I know, it's just funny.
You know why it's funny? Because as I'm realizing this, I'm thinking I'm either a two-wing three or a three-wing two. So please, this fits me as well. I just haven't read it yet.
Let's see. Because it is central to the type three fixation to require external validation, threes often consciously and unconsciously attempt to embody the image of success that is promoted by their culture. All right. Yep. I'm almost through all my notes here.
That's so funny.
Oh, wow. Okay. Even the most successful threes, who generally appear quite happy, often hide a deeply felt sense of meaninglessness.
Ooh.
The
it doesn't all have to be right.
No, it doesn't. No, this can't possibly all be accurate.
No, it can't be.
But then it says at the very end that threes can sometimes mistype themselves when they mistake the more superficial features of their personalities as indicators of their type.
Ah, that's good to know.
Yeah. So, for instance, an intellectual three might mistype as a five. A three who is devoted to her role as a mother might think she is a two. A three in a leadership position might mistype as an eight, and so on.
Which
I think makes sense.
It does.
To the type. Yeah. It would be easy to mistype yourself because you have a heavy... You know, like appearance is important and validation is important. So,
right.
Maybe right. The threes are the most confused. It doesn't say that, but.
Most confused, most conflicted, whatever. We'll make it work, right?
But yeah, okay. I mean, that doesn't paint the prettiest picture, but there's pros and cons to both. I would say I think it's probably pretty accurate for me.
Okay.
I'm going to pull up this. The six was the loyalist, which, like I said, in the other assessment is what came up highest for me. But like I said, I questioned the assessment because I did struggle with some of the questions. I also think that if I had taken this like pre-kids and post kids, mm-hmm. I'd have completely different results, which sometimes makes it hard to answer the questions because it's like the old me would have answered it this way. The new tired me answers it this way.
Right, right.
So I don't know. I don't think the six was. It says some sixes are basically phobic. I am pretty germophobic and still thinking about my library book.
I was going to say, how's the invention for the library book?
I talked to someone about it last week about how my prototype for sanitizing library items.
Yep.
But
so you know, you and I've had some fun with this, and, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, so for me with my my DISC behavior is actually an IS, which would mean I'm a high influence, and my second highest is a steadiness, mm-hmm. which really does fit both with the helper or the achiever.
Mm-hmm.
In some of the DISC profiles, they'll actually use achiever as one of the descriptive terms. Now mine actually comes across, I believe, as an advisor. Yeah, an advisor. So it's similar, and I see a mm-hmm. lot of the similarities between the Enneagram and the DISC.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that what I do like about this, even in the free one, is it's giving us some indications of what our strengths are. And anytime we talked about it when we did DISC, anytime we overuse a strength, it becomes a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you had said that you had heard a lot of, there's a lot more conversation in, you know, the podcast realm and some of the groups that you're following for the Enneagram.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea? Is it new? Is it something newer? Or I didn't look it up.
I have no idea. I mean, I first heard of it a few years ago, maybe like 2016.
Okay.
So I don't know the background on it, but I do hear a lot of talk about it. I think maybe because it's so easy to get a free assessment, whereas
yeah, exactly.
Like with the DISC and the Strength Finders,
right.
You're paying for those.
Yep.
One thing about the Enneagram I thought was interesting is that there are so many types, like it, you know, it's yes. 9 types, but yeah. I know like Myers-Briggs, that's a whole jumble of letters, right? I mean, like,
I have INFPs.
Not, yeah. I have right. not wrapped my head around that yet. Whereas, you know, DISC is the 4.
Yep.
And most people end up with a couple. I had like
right.
3 that were almost equal on my DISC the last time I took
yep.
it. So
mm-hmm.
I think this is really interesting, would be really interesting to do with a close group of friends or
sure.
your spouse.
Yeah, I think for spouses too. Yeah.
Your roommate, like someone that you spend a lot of time with. It, like, just like we did. I mean, we laughed at a lot of it, but because some of it's really true. And
exactly.
And also the type 3s that we are, we probably don't want to offend our image.
We have such an image to uphold. Maintain. Right.
So
how do you think this would help a person in their work life?
I think,
what are your thoughts?
That studying all 9 of them and yep. I reading through them, I think that most of us would be able to think about the people we work with and
right.
and say, yeah, that person's probably a 6 or that person's probably mm-hmm. a 3, and then understand each other more, just like the DISC.
Right.
Just have a better understanding of like where that person falls and
mm-hmm.
and understanding their type and how they might be feeling, you know, like it said that you know, I'm probably really image conscious and
yep.
I need to be validated. And that's true. So
right.
understanding that impacts the way we work with others. And again,
exactly.
it's like a free resource. So I would just recommend reading
yep.
through it. And just like the DISC, there, like when you get too extreme one end or the other, that's when it
yep.
can get a little scary. But when you're
right.
in the middle,
right.
what like most of us are, it's just a matter of understanding.
Exactly. And I think too, some of the things, the part of that understanding of yourself, you mm-hmm. know, for if you're a 2 like I am, you know, that we laughed so hard about, you know, basically not taking care of yourself, because that really is me. And I end
mm-hmm.
up, you know, living with the results of it. Now, but that's not an excuse. I can't just say, well, I'm a 2, so that's who I am. Now, this is something I have to change.
Mm-hmm.
I have to become much more self-aware of it. It really is this piece of self-awareness. But
yeah.
the other thing I can see, too, is that if you really understand who you are, it is going to help you lead to what your individual strengths and giftedness is. It's going to tell you where you are most comfortable operating, so to speak, or,
mm-hmm.
or working. And being able to negotiate that, like we talked about it last week, when we talked about how you were able to negotiate a new job description based on your strengths or giftedness. And you know, I don't want people to think, well, you know, my boss doesn't listen. Well, have you had a conversation with them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you willing to just sit down and say, hey, I'd like to share with you my results. I actually had a coaching client this morning I was talking to about, he was asking me questions about his team. And I actually pulled out, I had a copy of my Strength Finders in my day planner. And I just said, hey, look at this. And this might be something that would be really helpful for you as you're looking at a team of 4 people, you know, who has a higher upside or who has, you know, the aptitude or the strength or would most enjoy working in a certain area. And it was interesting. Remember when we talked about strengths and I said, you know, strengths, if when you're working in your strength, all of a sudden it's the end of the day and you need to leave, but you really don't want to because you're engaged in something meaningful for you. And he had a direct report that he was really struggling with, and he wondered, you know, was this guy really going to be committed? And all he did was he was helping out in a different area. And he said, next thing I know, the guy's staying longer hours. And I said, you found his giftedness, his strength zone, which right away gets us 8% more productivity.
Mm-hmm.
And that commitment, that they're 15% less likely to change jobs. So by working with whoever, you know, coworkers, team leads, your boss, share this information with them so that you can begin to negotiate a position where you're going to not have, it all started with the Sunday night flu, Sunday evening flu.
Mm-hmm.
We want to love what we do, and we want to do what we love. And that's the reason why we need to figure these things out,
mm-hmm.
I think.
And embracing like who you are too.
Yes.
Because
and like, not wish you're somebody else.
Right, right. I wanted to share too, part of the reason why I think this is also so popular right now is that there are some really good like Instagram accounts that do a lot of funny things with Enneagrams. And it reminded me of a funny account that I think people would like if you're into this kind of thing. And it's called Enneagram and Coffee on Instagram. And basically what she does is she goes through different scenarios and like says this is what a type one, like at a restaurant, type one, type two, type three, like all the different behaviors.
Yep.
And I actually just pulled it up so I could scroll through it because it's shockingly true. Like I'm looking at things you might find in the home of an Enneagram three. They are all the items shown are in my home.
Wow.
It's really good because it helps you like relate too.
Sure. So that's Enneagram and Coffee?
Enneagram and Coffee.
Okay.
And so it just goes through and it, like sometimes she'll do like if you were a friend's character, type one would be this person, type two would be this mm-hmm. person. At a wedding by Enneagram type. So since you said you were two, wow. At a wedding, you would be the one who swoops by with water for you, a plate of food, and made sure you had tissues before the ceremony.
Oh my, that's scary.
Let's see, there's a lot of really good stuff on here. Okay, the flu for each Enneagram type. So this says for you, a type two, get sick from taking care of everyone else who got sick first. And for me, the flu for a type three would be, quote, just a few emails from bed. There's just a lot of funny stuff on here, but it's like a really good way to relate to other people.
Yep.
And understand the different types.
Okay. Very cool. And you know, the neat part is that we're just sharing with you the Enneagram because it was new for us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a certified DISC trainer. So that's the one that I know the best, but it's interesting as you were sharing those things about the Enneagrams, I use examples similar to that in my classes
mm-hmm.
about people. I'll just talk about it, you know, and certain of these behavior profiles become gadget people and need the latest and brightest and type of things.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's that awareness piece, knowing who you are and why you act the way you do really helps you out. And you're going to have a lot more fun. You're going to enjoy your life more. You know, it's kind of like within relationships, the love language is one. You know,
yeah.
There's an assessment for finding your love language,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you can share it with your spouse. I mean, those are great tools to really help us get much richer relationships, especially as we go into the Christmas holiday season. You know,
yeah.
We're going to be spending a lot of time with people. And so rather than being annoyed, let's value the diversity in our behavior profiles. Mm-hmm. Because it really is, it's what makes the world a richer place. And maybe we're figuring out why you and I get along so well because we have such similar behavior profiles.
Seriously.
But I think somewhere your DISC has a little bit higher C than mine because my C is almost non-existent.
Yeah, my I, S, and C were all almost equal.
Okay. And my I and S were almost equal, but my C fell off the chart. Mm-hmm. So. And if people want to know what that means, they got to go back to our DISC podcast.
And I'll have
which
to
we should probably put a link in the description, shouldn't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll have to do some homework on that one.
I'm going to have to you the, I just came across some Enneagram tic-tac-toe.
Wow, that sounds exciting.
I'll have to send it to you. It's really funny.
All right. So anything special? So as you know, as we're recording this, we are literally just before Thanksgiving, even though it'll air after Thanksgiving. So do you have any special plans?
Well, I'm looking forward to a quiet Thanksgiving, but I am also very excited to say that we have now finished our fall activity bucket list and have moved on to winter. So
great.
We have a new new list to work from, and it hopefully will keep us busy during these winter months.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. That's great. And I am going to start checking things off my winter Christmas season bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I have family coming.
Yes, great. You do.
All right. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
This was The Next Page.